بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، له النعمة وله الفضل وله الثناء الحسن، وصلوات الله البر الرحيم والملائكة المقربين على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه الطيبين. All praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, the one who created everything and the one who does not need anything. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to raise the rank of our Prophet Muhammad and to protect his nation from that which he fears for them. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us high ranks in the Akhirah, to save us from the torture in the grave and from the torture in the hereafter. Brothers and sisters, one of the Sahaba named Abu Musa, may Allah Ta'ala accept his good deeds, once asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Ayyul muslimina afdal?" Who is the best amongst us? That was the question. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, "Man salima al-muslimun مِنْ لِسَانِهِ وَيَدِهِ." The one whom Muslims are saved from his tongue and his hand. Let us repeat the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I will say it and you say it after me. أَيُّ الْمُسْلِمِينَ أَفْضَلُ؟ قال صلى الله عليه وسلم من سلم المسلمون من لسانه ويده. One more time. أي المسلمين أفضل؟ من سلم المسلمون من لسانه ويده. أي المسلمين أفضل؟ قال صلى الله عليه وسلم من سلم المسلمون من لسانه ويده. Let us all say it together. أي المسلمين أفضل؟ قال صلى الله عليه وسلم من سلم المسلمون من لسانه ويده. In this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is describing for us the qualities of the ultimate Muslim. Who is the ultimate Muslim and what is his qualities? The Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, when he was asked about the best of the Muslims, he said, "Man salima al-Muslimun," whom Muslims are saved from the harm of his tongue and hand. So he does not backbite Muslims. He does not use his tongue in backbiting Muslims, which is called al-ghiba in Arabic. Al-ghiba is defined as mentioning about your Muslim brother in his absence something he hates to be mentioned with, whether concerning himself or his family members or maybe his belongings. such as to say he eats a lot. This is classified as ghibah, backbiting your Muslim brother. You are mentioning something about him. In reality, that he hates to be mentioned with in his absence. It is an ugly sin called al-ghiba. Allah Ta'ala forbade us from al-ghiba. In the Holy Quran, Allah Ta'ala said, وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. The meaning of the ayah, one is prohibited from committing ghibah against his Muslim brother. وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَنْ يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا فَكَرِهْتُمُوهُ. This is an example. If someone backbited his Muslim brother as if he is eating from his flesh while dead, how ugly is that? To eat the flesh of your Muslim deceased brother. It is also ugly to backbite him, to commit ghiba against him. So you have to be aware, in order for one to be classified as ultimate Muslim, he shouldn't commit ghiba, because it is a sin. He shouldn't also swear at his Muslim brothers and sisters for no reason. It is classified as a major sin to swear at your Muslim brother unjustly for no reason. He does not deserve it. If a Muslim slandered, swore at his Muslim brother, he is committing a major sin. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم سباب المسلم فسوق. Let us all repeat the hadith again. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم سباب المسلم فسوق. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم سباب المسلم فسوق. One more time. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم سباب المسلم فسوق. Can you say it on your own? سباب المسلم فسوق. The meaning of fusuq is a major sin. So it is classified as a major sin to swear at your Muslim brother. However, swearing at him in his absence is classified as ghiba. If one cursed his Muslim brother, this is called la'an. It is also classified as a major sin. And it is even worse than swearing at him. To curse him for no reason. Al-la'an. So you have to be aware. Do not use your tongue in something which is forbidden in Islam. That is why the Prophet is describing for us the ultimate Muslim, the one whom Muslims are saved from his tongue. He does not backbite Muslims. He does not swear at them. He does not curse them. And he does not attribute them with adultery or fornication. He does not accuse them with adultery or fornication, which is called qadhf. The definition of qadhf, to accuse a Muslim brother with fornication or adultery, or to accuse any of his family members, accuse him with adultery or accuse her with adultery or fornication. such as to say to a Muslim brother, "O you son of an adulterer," accusing his mother or his father with adultery. It is a major sin as well. And it is one of the grave major sins as mentioned in the hadith. اجتنبوا السبع الموبقات. One of them is القذف. To accuse a Muslim brother or any of his relatives with adultery or fornication. Muslim also should not use his tongue in committing an-namima, which is tale-bearing, stirring up enmity between two or more Muslims. It is classified as one of the major sins as well. Once Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was passing by the graveyard, the cemetery of Muslims, and he passed by two fresh graves. Then the Prophet said, إِنَّهُمَا لَيُعَذَّبَانِ. Currently they are being tortured. Allah Ta'ala revealed to him that they are tortured in their graves. إِنَّهُمَا لَيُعَذَّبَانِ. وَمَا يُعَذَّبَانِ فِي كَبِيرِ إِثْمٍ ثُمَّ قَالَ بَلَى. Because of a major sin they committed, they are getting tortured in the grave. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam revealed the reasons behind the torture by saying, أَمَّا أَحَدُهُمَا, one of them, كَانَ يَمْشِي بِالنَّمِيمَةِ. He used to commit namima. He used to stir up enmity between two or more Muslims. Stirring up enmity between them. وَأَمَّا الْآخَرِ, and the second, كَانَ لَا يَسْتَتِرُ مِنَ الْبَوْلِ. He used to contaminate himself with urine. He does not know how to clean himself after urination. So he used to contaminate himself with urine. And this is also one of the major sins. So an-namima is one of the reasons for the torture in the grave. So you have to be careful. Do not commit namima, do not commit ghiba, do not slander your Muslim brothers and sisters, do not accuse them with adultery and so on. On the night of Al-Isra, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed by three different groups, and each one of them is getting tortured because of one of the sins of the tongue. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam saw a huge bull exiting from a small outlet, and he's trying in vain to return back through it, but couldn't. The Prophet was asking Jibreel alayhi salam about it. What was the reason? What is the example? Jibreel alayhi salam said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this is the example of the bad word. Once spoken, it cannot be returned. Once you say the word, you cannot retrieve it. It cannot be returned. That is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked Jibreel alayhi salam about this incident. What is the example of? Then Jibreel alayhi salam explained to him sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Also, the Prophet saw some people scratching their faces and chests with brass fingernails. He asked Jibreel about them. Who are they? Jibreel alayhi salam said, Those are the one who commit ghibah, the ugly sin. And he also saw people whom their lips and tongues are clipped with scissors made of fire. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked Jibreel about them. Jibreel alayhi salam said, those are people from your nation whom they use their tongues in spreading sedition between people, seditions and corruptions between people. So it is an ugly sin to do so. You have to know what are the sins of the tongue so that you avoid it, so that you will be insha'Allah classified as an ultimate Muslim, whom the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam described, من سلم المسلمون من لسانه ويده. One of the Sahaba, when he heard that from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, said, I did not swear at an animal after that. Not even swearing at an animal. He refrained from swearing. He quit swearing. Also, the ultimate Muslim does not use his hand unrightfully, which means he does not steal, because stealing is haram, whether from a Muslim or a non-Muslim. When we explain the hadith about the ultimate Muslim, the one who does not swear at Muslims, the one who does not backbite Muslims and commit tail-bearing, of course we are not encouraging that you are required to backbite non-Muslims or to steal from them. Stealing from them is haram, definitely. Muslim also does not beat Muslims, does not smack Muslims using his hand in bashing them. It is definitely haram. Haram to use your hand in doing so. Even if it is your child, you should not smack him for no reason. Doing so is haram. Abusing them verbally or even physically is haram. Abusing them physically, such as smacking them for no reason, is classified haram in Islam. Even for smacking an animal for no reason is also sinful in Islam. If someone smacked his non-pubescent child, who is mumayyiz, for no reason, is also sinful. And he should seek forgiveness. Even if he smacked his non-mumayyiz child, such as 2 years old child, for no reason, it is also sinful. And he should seek forgiveness. Should wait for the child until he turns mumayyiz, and this is when he can ask him for forgiveness. But if he smacked an animal for no reason, on the day of judgment he might be punished for doing so, because definitely he is not going to seek forgiveness from the animal. That is why on the day of judgment he might be subject to the punishment. If Allah Ta'ala willed for him to receive a type of punishment, then he will be punished. So it is under the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah ta'ala willed for him to get punished for that sin which he committed, he will be punished. And if Allah ta'ala willed for him to be forgiven, then he will not be punished. Muslim also should refrain from using his hand in anything which Allah Ta'ala made forbidden, such as playing with dice. Playing with dice is haram in Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam drew an analogy in the hadith that the one who plays with the dice as if he dipped his hand in the blood and the flesh of pig, which is an ugly sin, to dip one's hand in the blood and flesh of pig. Very ugly to do so. So you have to refrain from playing with dice. And playing with all games that relies on fortune, such as playing with cards, for instance. Playing with cards is definitely haram in Islam. And when money is involved, then it is a type of gambling. Even if they are playing for fun, no money is involved, it is still classified as haram. Some scholars of Islam said the one who plays with the cards, and then after doing so, he is saying Astaghfirullah, asking Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness after playing with cards. Ulama said this person, as if he stabbed his eye, his own eye, with something sharp, such as a needle, and then after doing so, he is saying, I'm going to treat my eye. Which means, do not attempt to do it. It is so sinful to do it. And safety will be given the priority over others. This is the rule that Muslims should follow. To be on the safe side is better than involved in something which you do not know the judgment of. Is it halal? Is it haram? Stay away from it. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, one of the famous scholars of Islam, who lived more than 1,000 years ago, he knew that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ate watermelon, but he did not know the way how to eat it. It was not described to him the way how the Prophet ate watermelon. So he refrained from eating watermelon. He's not claiming that it is haram to do so. He refrained from eating it because he did not know how the Prophet ate it. Look at the love of Imam Ahmad to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he wanted to copy him in every single bit, in every single aspect of his life, to the extent that he wants to know how the Prophet ate watermelon. How did he do it? Since it wasn't known to him, he refrained. So if you do not know about the judgment of a single matter, refrain from doing it. Safety comes first. It is better for you to be on the safe side than indulging yourself in it without knowing the ruling. Is it halal or is it haram? The ultimate Muslim definitely holds in his heart the correct belief that no one deserves to be worshipped except Allah. Allah Ta'ala is our creator, eternally existent before creating any of his creation. The first creation Allah Ta'ala created is water, followed by Al-Arsh. Al-Arsh is the second creation whom Allah Ta'ala created. However, the Arsh is the biggest of Allah's creation in size. Allah Ta'ala did not create bigger than Al-Arsh. In this dunya, there are four angels carrying the arsh. And on the day of judgment, there will be eight. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, during the night of Al-Isra and Al-Mi'raj, said, أُذِنَ لِي أَنْ أَتَكَلَّمْ عَنْ وَاحِدٍ مِنْ حَمَلَةِ الْعَرْشِ. I was permitted to describe one of the angels carrying the arsh. This is the meaning of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. ما بين شحمة أذنه, from between his earlobe, إلى عاتقه, to his shoulder, مسيرة, the distance of 700 عام بخفقان الطير المسرع. The distance between the earlobe and the shoulder of this angel is the distance of 700 years. It takes the flying bird 700 years to cross the distance between the earlobe and the shoulder of that angel. One of the angels carrying the arsh, that is the distance between his earlobe and his shoulder. What about his full size? As described, that his foot is in the seventh earth and his shoulder is next to the arsh. And the distance between each sky is the distance of 500 years. 500 years between each sky, and the depth of the sky is also 500 years. And the thickness of the earth is 500 years, the distance of 500 years. And the distance also, the gap between the first earth and the second earth is another 500 years. This angel is mighty in size. Subhanallah. Huge. Imagine that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of the arsh. Eternally, Allah ta'ala is existent before creating the arsh. He did not create the arsh because he is in need of it. Allah ta'ala does not need any of the creation. He does not need the arsh. He does not need the humans, the jinn, paradise, hell, none of his creation. Allah ta'ala is attributed with attributes. The attributes of Allah ta'ala are perfect. Perfect attributes. All non-befitting attributes do not befit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such as being in a place or having a color or shape, dimensions and the like. They are all classified as attributes of the creation. Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi, one of the renowned scholars of Islam, said, وَمَنْ وَصَفَ اللَّهَ بِمَعْنًا مِنْ مَعَانِ الْبَشَرِ فَقَدْ كَفَرْ. The one who attributes Allah Ta'ala with any of the attributes of the humans commits blasphemy. And the rule says, مَهْمَ تَصَوَّرْتَ بِبَالِكَ, whatever you imagine in your mind, فَاللَّهُ بِخِلَافِ ذَلِكَ. Allah Ta'ala is different than that. Whatever you imagine in your mind, because your mind is a creation, and whatever your mind can conceive is a creation as well. Let us say this rule, مَهْمَا تَصَوَّرْتَ بِبَالِكَ فَاللَّهُ بِخِلَافِ ذَلِكَ. مَهْمَا تَصَوَّرْتَ بِبَالِكَ فَاللَّهُ بِخِلَافِ ذَلِكَ. Say it now on your own. MashaAllah, very nice statement. مهما تصورت ببالك فالله بخلاف ذلك. This statement has been said by Imam Ahmad رضي الله عنه and others. مهما تصورت ببالك فالله بخلاف ذلك. Such as also Imam Dhunnun al-Misri. He said it and Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal said it as well. Also, the ultimate Muslim believes in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that he is a messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he is truthful in whatever he said and conveyed from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, whether regarding the ruling of halal and haram, or the news of the previous nations, or what is coming in the future, or about the day of judgment and what is beyond that. He is truthful in whatever he said, in whatever he conveyed from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ultimate Muslim does not commit any of the prohibitions, any of the muharramat, whether small or major. You should avoid all the prohibitions, but this needs knowledge. Without knowledge, one would be unable to differentiate between what is halal, what is haram. If you did not attend circles of knowledge, how would you know what is halal and what is haram? These are some qualities of the ultimate Muslim. We hope that we will reach this level, inshallah, all of us. It is not easy, but you have to work hard in order to achieve such goal, to be an ultimate Muslim. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to end our life with Islam, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the strength to avoid all the prohibitions and to give us the strength to fulfill all the obligations. And Allah Ta'ala knows best.